Let's thank God for our psalmist today. I appreciate all of y'all. Well, again, join me at 2 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 8. Dwight read for us what he could. See, some of y'all, I know what y'all are thinking. Why can't he get through the scripture and the prayer without shouting every Sunday? If you only knew his testimony, you would understand. Call him sometime. He'll tell you it's going to take a minute because he's going to shout all the way through it. But if you only knew what he's been and going through, somebody said you'd be joining him and shouting too. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want to read just a few verses beginning at the 16th verse. Thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carried the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. Amen. I want to talk about the right stuff. The right stuff. It was in 1983 that a movie was made from a book called The Right Stuff. It was a movie depicting some test pilots from the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. It depicted the time where the United States had started NASA, and NASA was planning to launch some individuals into space. The movie depicts how NASA was stumbling. They really didn't know how to build a program. They didn't know what a space program looked like, let alone how to choose a person for the space program. But in all transparency, they showed that sometimes you gotta start even when you don't have all the answers. Sometimes you gotta walk and chew gum even at the same time. That's a quote from my beloved brother Muhammad. He said, sometimes you can't wait till you got it all together. Sometimes you gotta take what you have, start where you are, and do what you can. And the movie is depicted and named The Right Stuff because after they went through what they went through, eventually they discovered and they claimed, they said this about those men that were, those first men that were chosen. They've got the right stuff. They've got what it takes to go to another level and to serve at a higher level. They called it the right stuff. Here we are in 2020. Just last week, the first African-American man by the name of Victor Glover, he's a test pilot. Victor Glover is a test pilot, he's a commander, and he was on that ship that flew to the International Space Station. He's down in history because he's going to be the first African-American astronaut to stay and serve at the International Station. They're expecting him to be there for about up to 6 months. And he is there because it was deemed that he had the right stuff. They put this responsibility, they're entrusting him to work, to serve, to carry out, to be responsible, to be a good steward over everything that's entrusted in him, because they said and saw in his character that he had the right stuff. In a real sense, what I want to share with you today as I close out chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, you need to know that when you spend a whole lot of time making an appeal for people to give, you need to know that the people who give expects accountability. Asking for money is one thing. Being responsible with the money that people give is something else. They both got to go together. A strong appeal is also tied to the person who's making the appeal. I'm blessed beyond measure, because there has not been a time in the life of this ministry, or at least in the time that I've served, where the people of the Nazarene Church has not responded graciously and kindly when there was a need and when there was an appeal made. And I chalk that up to the fact that sometimes, and even I asked this of a beloved philanthropist who is a dear friend of mine, I asked him one day, I said, how do you decide? You give away hundreds of thousands of dollars all the time. How do you decide who to give to? He said, the first criteria, it's based upon the character of the one who's doing the asking. Makes all the sense in the world. Accountability goes with the appeal. I want to lift up with you, to you today, at least three individuals in this text, and I want to share with you why I believe and what the scriptures reveal to help you understand how they have the right stuff. The first one I want to lift up, of course, is the Apostle Paul. Here's the marvelous thing about Paul. Paul is a person who is in this event. Paul is the one who is casting the vision. Paul is the one who's carrying and presenting the vision. Paul is the one that understands. He was able to see what God sees. Henry Blackaby, you've heard me talk about this book all the time. God is always working, and God, through his children, he's looking for people who will join him in the work. And as you walk around and as you do what you do and do ministry, every now and then, God, through the unction of the Holy Ghost, will tap you on your shoulder and point to something to see if you see what he sees. When God sees people that are hungry, he wants to know, do you see what I see? When God sees people that are serving alongside people that are sick and people that are hungry and people that are tired, God wants to know, do you see what I see? And Paul saw what God saw. Paul saw the mother church, how the people were suffering, how the people were under oppression, how the people were being left out, how the people were stressed out. And Paul saw what God saw. And then the second thing, not only did he see what God saw, but the other thing that Paul understood the clarity of trying to figure out how can the children of God connect to and with what God is doing. In other words, God points it out, but then God points it out because he wants to know what you're going to do about it. God's going to do it. God's going to do it, but he wants to know, do you see what I see, and are you willing to join me in bringing a difference in this circumstance or situation? You remember he used a burning bush one day and then told Moses that he saw what was going on in Egypt. Do you see what I see? Moses said, yeah, I've been there. I've seen it. But then everything changed, because then God said, I'm going to deliver them. But when he said, I'm going to deliver them, and then told Moses, and by the way, I'm going to make you the point guard as you go down there to deliver them, Moses spent a whole chapter trying to talk God out of using him to go do what God's gonna do. God's gonna do what he's gonna do. He's just looking for somebody that's willing to join him in doing what he gonna do. Paul understood the vision. Paul saw what God wanted done, and Paul understood how to connect the people, how to connect the children, how to connect the children to help them see what God sees. And y'all, sometimes it takes a minute. Not everybody catches the vision right away. Not everybody can see what the preacher, pastor, what the visionary sees. And every pastor, let me share with you, every leader, let me share with you, everybody's not looking through your glasses. You got to be patient sometime. Sometimes you got to be patient. You got to wait on folk, because just don't, because they don't see it now, don't mean they won't see it after a while. Sometimes you got to wait on them. Sometimes you got to pray with them. But it doesn't necessarily mean you wait to start the vision. Sometimes you got to go on and do what God's calling you to do. You got to lay the groundwork and just wait on people to see. Because every now and then, you heard about that dude named Johnny, don't you? You heard about him, the Johnny come lately kind of guy. Don't be mad at him, because at least Johnny came. He came late. But at least we thank God that he did show up, because some folk didn't come at all. And here's what Paul understood. Paul saw what God saw. Paul saw a way to connect the children to work that work that God revealed to him. And then Paul understood that even though we got the children, he understood, I can't do this by myself. And here's what you need to know, that every now and then, God's going to do something that you'll know right off the bat, I can't do this by myself. And that's okay, because in Scripture, over and over, there were people that got in a situation where they realized they couldn't do it by themselves. God does it on purpose to help you know there's some stuff you can't do by yourself. You remember when Peter, Jesus said, throw that net on the other side of the boat, and it wasn't long that the net was so full that it was about to break. And what happened? Peter said, I need some help. You remember in Luke chapter 5, verse 18, there was four friends who had a friend who was paralyzed, and they heard Jesus was in town. Jesus is in town, but they couldn't get Jesus to the friend, so they decided to get the friend to Jesus, but they couldn't do it by themselves. They needed some help. And when you read the story, it says they came, each one of them, on each corner of the cot. And when they got there, not only could they not forget getting through the door, they couldn't even get to the door, but they didn't stop. They got some help, took him up on the roof, because they were determined to get their friend in the presence of Jesus, because they believed that Jesus could make, they believed that Jesus had the stuff to get, help their friend, help his life become better. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it by themselves. I'll give you one more. Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus said, show me where you laid him. And then when he got to the cemetery, he asked for some help. Y'all rolled a stone away. Here's what I love about it. You do what you can do, and God will do what you... Because you're going to need some help to do many of the things that God is calling you to do. Paul had the right stuff because he saw the vision. Paul had the right stuff because he saw how he could connect the children to the vision. And Paul understood with all humility, I can't do this. I'm gonna need some help. Let's talk about Titus in the 16th verse. It says, thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus. I'm here to tell you today that Titus, he had the right stuff. If First thing I know he's had the right stuff, it's because he received what God put in his heart. When you read that text, you ought to read it in a couple of different versions. In one version, the NIV version, Paul says, Titus, he's concerned, he has the same concern for the people that I do. If whatever you're going to do, if you're going to have somebody that's going to share in a leadership role, you better make sure that they see what you see and they have the willingness. That they have the same concern for the people that you do. John threw Judas under the bus. John told it. When that woman came in and broke that alabaster of Chanel number 5 and poured it all over Jesus, Judas almost said, Judas got upset. And Judas said, that could have been used. We could have put that on Facebook Marketplace, and could have sold that and had enough money to feed the poor. And John said, he's a lie. He wasn't concerned about the poor. He was only concerned about what he could get his hands on, because he's the one who kept the bag. John told on him. Even Jesus had somebody that did not necessarily see what he saw. And you got to be careful, because Satan will come after you and will try to make you put your needs above the people's needs. But I love this text, because it says, in the NIV version, it says that Titus, he cared about the people. Paul's talking, he's the narrator. Paul said, he's concerned about the people like I am. But then I like the King James Version. The King James Version begins verse 16 with a but. And you know that when you read a text that begins with a but, then you know that but means there's a transition. And so when you go back to the previous verses, Paul just illustrated, he made a reference to Exodus 16:16. In Exodus 16:16, Paul made reference to the fact he was explaining to the people that God will provide. He'll provide what you need. And he makes a reference to Exodus 16:16, when God had the whole children of Israel out in the wilderness. There wasn't no Costco's, wasn't no Sam's, wasn't no Snooks, wasn't nothing nearby. But God fed them quail, and then he fed them manna. But he had a stipulation with this. And in Exodus chapter 16:16, God told them, here's what you do. You go out and gather an omer. An omer was a measurement. Here's what an omer looked like. An omer is translated in our modern day, an omer is 2 liters. It's like a 2-liter bottle. He said, here's what you do. Get an omer for everybody in your family. Junior, you get one. Me and Trudy, we get 2. Ed, you get 2. Tracy, you get 1, 2, 3 and a half. In a few more days, you'll get another 4. And when you get 1 omer for each person, there's always enough. On the 6th day, you double it up, because you're not going to go out there on the 7th day, because he ain't going to send it. But it's always enough. The picture that Paul was illustrating is that God will meet your need. And here's the translation. He says in verse 15, God is in the business of meeting your needs. And in the same way Titus has concern for the people, he's interested in meeting their needs. That's why I love him. That's why I know he's got the right stuff, because just like God wants to meet your needs, Titus is interested in meeting your needs. Not only does he have the right heart, he's got the right attitude. He's got the right attitude. Listen to what Paul says about him. He's got the right heart, but he's coming to you with enthusiasm. Accepting an assignment is one thing, but being enthusiastic about it, it is another. I'm gonna take my time and walk through this, because you need to know that just because somebody says, I'll help, don't necessarily mean they're going to be good help. Just because they show up don't mean they're going to show up with the right. Have you ever, back in the day when we used to be able to get together for Thanksgiving, anybody ever showed up, but when they showed up, they had such a funky attitude that you wish they hadn't came at all. And here's what I love about Titus. Titus showed up with a great attitude, and he was enthusiastic. Matter of fact, in the King James Version, Paul said he accepted this exhortation. Hey, Trudy, that word exhortation in that particular text is the word paraklesis. It means to come alongside. That's a great picture of what Titus did with Paul. He came along, came alongside. As a support, he came alongside. He didn't get in front. He came alongside with a great attitude. Paul said, I'm sending Titus to you. Because he's concerned about you just like I am. He understands meeting God's needs, meeting the people's needs just like I do. He's enthusiastic. He's self-motivated. Nobody has to twist his arm. He's a get-her-done kind of guy. I'm sending him because he has the right stuff. But then Paul says, and as another guy I'm sending, watch this, the brother. I'm sending the brother. Junior, he didn't give his name. He didn't say who his mama name was. I looked high and low trying to figure out who he was. He was simply known as the brother. Let me tell you who else is on the team. I'm sending the brother. And I can tell you right now, he's got the right stuff because he's on the team and he ain't quitting when his name ain't called. Is this on? Some people struggle. Some people struggle because they want recognition. But sometimes, y'all, you gotta serve when nobody but God is recognizing you. And can I give you something for free? I'll give this to you. Okay, Keyshawn, because the truth is, God seeing is really the only one that matters. God is the one that can break you off a blessing that you didn't have. God is the one who can make a way out of no. God is the one who can pick you up and give you another chance. His name ain't even, they didn't even take time to write his name. They called him the brother. But let me tell you what they said about the brother. we got him on the team because he's passionate about the gospel. The people praise him as the one who preaches. Everywhere he go, he bringing good news. All the churches knowing because he's the one that is always bringing good news. You got to have somebody that's passionate about getting people meeting their needs physically, but then you also need to have somebody who's passionate about meeting people's needs spiritually. Putting food in your belly is one thing. Getting your soul into heaven is another. Have I got a witness here? And Paul said in Romans chapter 10, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Yes, I want them to have a house, but I want them to be saved. Yes, I'd like them to have a strong family, but I want them to be saved. I'd like them to have justice rolling down like mercy and righteousness like a mighty stream. But what I really want, what I prefer, is that they be saved. He's known as the preacher who's passionate about sharing and bringing good news. Look at it. And we're sending along with him the brother who's praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What more? Not only is he passionate about the gospel, but he's appreciated by the people. God tonight. People appreciate what he does. People value the word of God. People value good news. And y'all, we living in a day where we need some good news. We got a president that might have to be ushered. We need some good news. We got somebody who's more concerned about getting a recount for an election that's already over than he is people that are dying by thousands every day. We need some good news. We need to know while folk are losing their jobs and while money's running out, we need some good news. Children are coming home again, and somebody gonna need some good news. Cars are being repossessed. Houses are being foreclosed. We need some good news. Restaurants are closing. Business are closing. We need some good news. But the people of God, I thank God for this brother, because no matter what you're facing, there is some good news. You might lose your house. You might have to move back home, but there is some good news. Because at least you got a home to go back to. Yeah. You wasn't promised rolling on 24s forever, but at least you got two good feet. He preached good news. Hey, people are dying every day, but I still got some good news. One day, somebody's gonna call Ross and tell him to pick up some old clothes. But when he comes by and pick up the clothes, I'll be absent from this body, present with the Lord. Ain't that good news? And the best news is God is still in charge. Come what may, the God I serve, he's still in charge. God is still on the throne. And deep in our bosom, he's given us a phone. When you walk, when you walk, you're not walking by yourself. Just remember, God is, he he's still on the throne. These folks got the right stuff. The brother, he's got the right stuff. Titus has the right stuff. Paul has the right stuff. And they've got the right stuff because God has the right stuff. And when you accept Jesus, won't he give you the right stuff? Won't he give you a word? Won't he give you the Holy Ghost? You have the right stuff, everything you need to get through this thing, because we serve a God. We serve a God. He's in the business of providing the right stuff. When I was lost in sin, he provided the right stuff, gave me a Savior, died on the cross, rose on Sunday. He's the right stuff, ascended to the Father, sent down the Holy Ghost in my heart. He's the right stuff. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. I thank God he gives the right stuff. Won't he give you what you need? Trust and never doubt. He will surely bring you out. Because in Jesus Christ, we got the right stuff. We got the right stuff. In Jesus, everything we need, he provides the right stuff.